Thank you. blessing us with that, that selection. We give praises to our Father, who's worthy of all of our praise. God is truth without proof. You don't have to prove anything to you or to me, but in the volume of the book, you will find all of his power, his witness, and acknowledged. To you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, all of our family members and friends, to these preachers, amen. Pastor Darrow, amen. Minister Busby, Brother Massey, and to Minister Brinkley. It is good for us to be here. Amen. We feel a little wheelbearish this morning. Amen. We'll roll if you push us. Amen. Amen. The harder you push, the faster I'll get to where I need to be. Is that all right? Amen. I'd like to direct your attention for this Family and Friends Day to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 8. And when you find that, say amen. 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 Genesis 45, 1 through 8. If you got it, you may stand if you desire and read along with us from the Word of God. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you as a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Ain't God all right? I want to talk just for a few moments about God has a plan. God has a plan. And on this Family and Friends Day, I think we need to know that God has a plan. As children of God, we attempt to find our way through this maze of experience known as life. Sometimes becoming lost and confused. One thing we must never forget is that God has a plan. Sometimes personal misfortune and tragedy overtakes us. When we have reversals in our careers. When sickness and disease attack our bodies. Or when the death angel snatches a loved one from us. Our faith is sometimes shaken. And we wonder why these things happen. Let us never forget. That God has a plan. Sometimes we earnestly and sincerely pray. It seems as if our prayers have fallen on deaf ears. Our requests are either denied or the answer is delayed. We begin to feel frustrated and forsaken. But as we experience these things, we need to remember that God does not frustrate us unless there is a reason. Y'all missed that, amen. And not forget that God has a plan. Oh, I know some of you have experienced it. You know what I'm talking about. You thought you wanted what you wanted. And you ask God and you would not wait on his direction. Then you find yourself, amen, regretting the decisions that you have made. But I come to tell you that if you wait on God, God has a plan. In life, it seems we often see the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. This continues to be troubling, amen, for those of us who call ourselves children of God, amen. And it produces a number of questions. I know you've seen folk that you don't believe ought to be where they are because they're not doing the right thing. And they got there maybe by illegal means, and maybe they got there by conniving, amen, and cheating, and amen, all that kind of stuff. And you wonder why they seem to everything they touch, they got a Midas touch. It turns into gold. But you are struggling. And you're wondering why, Lord, does the wicked always seem to prosper? And so you ask a series of questions. Why does God allow this? How long will wrong oppress the right? When is God going to move on the behalf of the innocent and the oppressed? We cry out like the psalmist and the prophet. Lord, how long? Oh, but I got good news for you. It's not long, amen. God will be by to see about you after a while. Can I get a witness here? Somebody said weeping might endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. Amen. Y'all can come on in. There's some seats down here. Amen. Come on in. Our Ursula's are doing some other stuff. Don't just stand there. Pastor, got you, man?
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all come on in. Amen. And we got to understand that God has a timetable.
Yes,
sir. Amen. You cannot synchronize him with your watch or your clock on the wall, because God moves when God wants to move. We've just got to walk by faith and not by sight. Too many of us are trying to see what God is doing rather than just walking according to his word. Brothers and sisters, no matter what happens around us, no matter what we see, hear, or read, or even experience, let us remember that God has a plan. Amen. Things are not just happening haphazardly. Amen. Your life and the movements and the decisions you make and the choices you make are not just a juxtaposition and a different, amen, decisions that lead into a specific point, but God has a reason. He has a plan, and sometimes we can't see that, amen. Sometimes we're too bogged down in stuff, too bogged down in self, too bogged down in the difficulties of life that we cannot see it. We can't appreciate the beauty of the rose because there are thorns and thistles, amen. But if you hold on, God is going to show up and give you directions after a while. If anyone has questions or doubts as to whether or not God has a plan, I invite you to consider with me today the story of Joseph.
All right.
There are three facts that I want you to recognize, and I'm going to take my seat. Amen. Three facts. Number one, God has a plan for us at conception.
Yes, sir. Yes. All right. Yes.
All right. God has a plan for us at conception.
Yes, sir.
Did you not hear him say to the prophet, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained that you would be a prophet to the nations." That's Jeremiah 1 and 5. And so when I look at the story of Joseph, Jacob had 12 sons. Among the 12 sons, there was one named Joseph, whom he loved more than all the others. Amen. And I know it's family and friends day, and I'm not going to digress into whether or not you show favoritism to any of your children. That's not even the point of the message. But I thought I'd leave that there for you for your consideration. Joseph was a child of Jacob's old age. He was the first son by Rachel, whom he loved more than Leah or any of their handmaids. And as a token of his love, Jacob gave to Joseph a coat of many colors. Help me, Holy Ghost. This of course created a problem with his brothers. I'm sure they wondering in their mind, well, we didn't get no coat of many colors. Now here comes along this fellow. And Dad is giving him this spectacular psychedelic coat of many colors. And Joseph wasn't a threat to his brothers or their well-being nor their inheritance. Yet the brothers resented the father's affection and the gifts that he gave to Joseph. Now note a few things here. When we can have our share of blessing and still be jealous of the blessings that God gives to another. We can, amen, have our place in the kingdom and still be jealous of what we see being done for others. We can be blessed with skills and talents sufficient to do the job we've been called to do and still be jealous when someone, amen, seems multi-talented. We know and testify to how good God has been to us, and still we are jealous when God seems to bless someone else with a little more than what we got. So I don't get jealous of other folk. When I see God blessing folk, I stand back and I wait on God, because the same thing he's done for you, he can do the same thing for me. As a matter of fact, you need to know that jealousy is an ugly thing. Can I get a witness here? Amen. And to make matters worse, Joseph had a habit of dreaming strange dreams. Not only did he dream strange dreams, but he had the audacity to tell other folk about his dream. He had a dream that his brothers would bow down to him. And when he told his brothers, I had a dream.
Praise to
him. Amen. He told his brothers, and they hated him even the more. And I want you to excavate from that. You got to be careful who you share your dream with. Is that right? Young people, be careful who you share your goals, your dreams, and your divisions. Folk will resent you because of your dream. Dr. King had a dream. And was killed for his dream. Be careful. Why should we be careful? Because some people are only concerned about their stuff. Protecting their stuff. And doing the same old things in the same old way. They won't understand your dream. But they will resent you for it. God has a plan for us even at conception. Then, secondly, God has a plan for us despite the jealousy and resentment of other people. Help me, Lord. Jealousy and resentment are terrible diseases because they cause us to think and say and do some terrible things.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people are, talk about other folk because they are jealous of them. Help me, Holy Ghost. One day when his brothers were in the fields of Dothan, watching over their flocks, Joseph went out to them, and when his brothers saw him coming from a long way off, resentment began to build up in their hearts. I'm sure Joseph went strolling out with his psychedelic coat on. Now to see his brothers.
Come on now.
But they said, here comes that dreamer. Come now and let us kill him and throw him in one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his strength.
All right now.
But Reuben, the oldest brother, said, I can't go along with such a foul idea. So they decided not to kill Joseph themselves, but to throw him into one of the pits. Their plans changed again when they saw an Ishmaelite caravan decided to sell Joseph into slavery. They sprayed animal blood on his coat of many colors. Took it back to Jacob as evidence that a wild beast had killed his beloved son. They sold their brother. Help me, Lord God. If I had time, you can go back and look at the parallelism as Jacob being a type of God and Joseph being a type of Christ. Did you not remember that Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver? Help me, Lord God. They lied to their father. I've never seen or heard of any wrong being done without a lie being required to cover up that wrong. Think about it. I'll give y'all a second or two. Think about it. Every wrong you've ever done, you had to have a lie. Even if you didn't use it, you had to have it in your back pocket. Just in case somebody figured out what you had done. For every wrong, there had to be a lie to cover it up. They fought. They were through with Joseph. However, they didn't know God had a plan. In the act of deceit, God was laying the foundation for its fulfillment. Oh, brothers and sisters, you need to know that God is everywhere. He's all up in here and around here. He's omnipresent. And he's always working. Can I get a witness here? I need to tell you that man can't kill you. Until God's plan has been accomplished in your life. Help me, Lord God. Joseph, the object of his father's love and the victim of his brother's resentment. Joseph, whose crime was being a dreamer.
Yes.
In the midst of a non-dreaming brethren.
All right.
Amen. It's difficult to have dreams, to have goals, to have a vision.
Yes, sir.
When nobody else around you have any dreams, goals, or vision.
Yeah.
He was taken to Egypt and sold again.
Yeah.
This time to Potiphar, the captain of the Egyptian army.
Yes.
But in accordance with God's plan, Joseph's servitude was a blessing in disguise.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we as a people know how God can bring one out of servitude and make a way out of nowhere. Can I get a witness here? All the way from the outhouse to the White House. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. God has a plan. Joseph soon became the manager of Potiphar's house.
Yes, sir.
Amen. For Joseph, it seemed that everything was looking up. But I need to tell you that Satan will allow you only so much peace before he tries to disrupt your life.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes.
He might leave you for a season, but I guarantee you, he's coming back again. And so it was one day, Potiphar's wife approached Joseph. I don't know anything about Potiphar's relationship or his household or his relationship with his wife, but I assume that he was a busy man. And so Miss Potiphar got tired of waiting on Potiphar to come home. Amen. And decided to take matters into her own hands. She kept eyeing this fine sculptor, amen, Israelite young man by the name of Joseph. And the Bible says that she desired to get to know him. And no, brothers and sisters, in the Bible don't just mean I want to get acquainted with you. No, was intimacy. Because in the Bible, when it said so and so knew so and so, they had so and so. So she approached Joseph. She pulled out all of the stops, all of the wares, and used all the God-given talents that God had endowed her with. And she put a move on Joseph. But Joseph said no. And when she realized she couldn't seduce him, the Bible says she tore her garments and ran out and cried rape and told Potiphar that that servant of yours tried to rape me. Thus the second time Joseph found himself in being an innocent victim. The first time his brother's jealousy and resentment had caused him to be sold into slavery. The second time a woman's lust and resentment had placed him in prison. But God had a plan. When Joseph was in prison, Potiphar's wife assumed that she had gotten even and gotten rid of him. But she didn't know that the God that Joseph served had a plan for Joseph's wife. See, no, brothers and sisters, you may get a detour along the way, but you will get to where God wants you to be. It can't nobody, nor the devil or all of his imps in hell, keep you from arriving at that destination. God has a plan for us at conception. God has a plan for us. Despite, amen, the jealousy and resentment of us. Then finally, God has a plan for us even when we lose everything, God has a plan. Even when we lose everything, I can just imagine that there were times during his journey from slavery to prison. When Joseph must have asked, why or for what? You've asked those questions, is that right? Perhaps Joseph didn't realize that God had a plan for his life, and that all things were working together to the good of them that love God. Help me, Lord God. Every setback he encountered, every pit that was dug, every trap that was laid, every lie that was told, was leading him to where God wanted him to be. Because God was with Joseph. It wasn't long before Joseph became the head trustee in prison. Ain't God all right? People can't keep a child of God down. God's children will find a way to shine wherever they are. All you got to do is to trust God wherever you find yourself. Is that all right? But while in prison, Joseph met the chief butler and the chief baker of Pharaoh's household. They were locked up because they had done something to anger Pharaoh. But one night, they both had dreams that they didn't understand. Joseph was able to interpret their dreams. If God gives you a gift or a talent, he will also give you an opportunity to use it. Joseph told the butler that he would be restored to his position. But he told the baker that he would be executed. And Joseph asked the butler, when you are restored, please remember me. But the butler forgot about Joseph. And I need to tell you, brothers and sisters, people will forget about us once they have arrived. Once they've made use of what we have to give. Once they have what they need for the moment. People will forget. But God always remembers. And if we forget how we made it over, God has a way of making us remember. So one night, about 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream that he didn't understand. He thought it was two dreams, but it was the same dream. He dreamed that seven fat cows were grazing by the Nile River. When seven skinny cows came up out of the river and ate up the fat cows. But the skinny cows were still skinny after eating the fat cows. Then he saw seven plump ears of grain growing on the same stalk. But another 7 years of blighted or diseased grain sprang up and consumed the seven plump ears. And when the butler, heard about Pharaoh's dream, he then remembered Joseph. And the king sent for Joseph, and Joseph came to interpret his dream. Ain't God all right? He said the seven fat cows and the seven plump ears stand for 7 years of abundant harvest. But these years of plenty will be followed by 7 years of famine, symbolized by the seven skinny cows and the seven blighted grains of corn. The time of the famine will wipe out the years of abundance. But Joseph said, what is needed is for someone to oversee so that the grain can be set aside in the years of abundance for the time of famine. Help me, Lord God. Pharaoh perceived that Joseph was wise, that he was a man of integrity, and he appointed Joseph over the whole program and gave him full authority and made him second in command over all of his household. If you don't know by now, God is all right. The events unfolded just as Joseph said it would. But during the second year, I heard to a close of the years of famine in the land of Canaan. An old man by the name of Jacob, who had 11 sons still at home, went to the grain barrel one day and saw that the supply was running out. He told his sons to get a little money because I've heard they've got grain in Egypt. Help me, Lord God. I can see Joseph, and he stood before the storehouse that day, overseeing the sale and distribution of the grain. And when he saw a caravan come, he saw some familiar faces. I imagine that Joseph could hardly believe his eyes. However, before Joseph had an opportunity to react, his brothers bowed down. Oh, y'all didn't know that. His brothers bowed down at his feet. And Joseph remembered the dream of the 11 sheaves and the 11 stars bowing down before him. If you are a child of God, don't worry about ventures. If you follow God's plan, if you trust and obey, God will bring those who try to destroy you, those who laugh at you, those who mock you, those who persecute you. He'll bring them to your feet. Help me, Holy Ghost. I've got to fast forward just a little while. After questioning them, he sent them back home. Told them to bring Benjamin, your baby brother, back to Egypt. Joseph invited all of them to have lunch with him. And after they had dined sufficiently, Joseph stood up and said, take a good look at me. Tell me, do you recognize who I am? I can see in my mind's eye them thinking about it. Well, we killed him. We sold him. But they couldn't figure it out. It couldn't be Joseph. But Joseph couldn't control his emotions any longer. And the Bible says he broke down in tears. And he told them that I am your brother. And wanted to kill. He said, I am the same Joseph who you resented as a child. I am the same Joseph whom you lied to my father about. I am the same Joseph whom you mocked for my dream. I am the same Joseph who you lured in the pit and sold into slavery. But be not grieved, I mean you no harm, for God had a plan for me. You see, God allowed me to be sold into slavery. God allowed me to be lowered in the pit. God allowed me to be placed in prison. You didn't send me, but God sent me. Against us and work it out for our good. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm glad today. Think of what you feel, but the more pruning that he does, the more trimming that he does, the more beautiful the results will be. Is that all right? So when you're feeling uncomfortable, when you're feeling irregular, just feeling some kind of way, help me, Holy Ghost. Maybe that's God doing some pruning. Work it in your life, because God has a plan for every one of his children. Is that all right? But you got to trust him. You got to depend on him. And know God knows what's best. I trust and depend in the sovereignty of God. That whatever God you want to do, it's all right with me. Because you know better than I know. God can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, just because he wants to do it. He ain't got to check in with us. He ain't got to ask your permission. He ain't got to sit down and make no appointment with you and decide whether or not, amen, he can do this in your life. But if you trust in the sovereignty of God, whatever he does,
yes, sir,
it's all right with me. Yes, Because in the end,
yes, sir,
I'm going to live in the sunshine. And I'm going to understand it better by and by. But while I am here, I've got to tell a dying world that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I've got to be about his business. I've got to be about fulfilling his agenda. What thus saith the Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? That's what I got to be doing. And not trying to figure it all out. One step at a time. The door of the church is open. If you're here, this is your opportunity. So say yes to the Lord. Give this preacher your hand and God your life, your heart. Amen.
Disappointed him, God still has a plan for me.